Luke 17. Good to be in church. Good to be saved. Glory, I'm saved. Good to have a home, a mansion in heaven. Good to believe the old King James. I'm glad God brought me around the folks He put me in through the years. Man, especially nowadays with all the craziness going on. Luke chapter 17. Luke 17. May have to up this up every once in a while. It gets kind of hard to see out of it sometimes.
They didn't take our Bibles.
No, they didn't take any Bibles. Luke 17 that I know of. Of course, if they could get a dollar from it, they'd do it. Luke 17, Luke chapter 17. This is ought to be familiar to you here. And just almost start at verse 11. And this ought to be a very familiar passage to you. And it came to pass, as he went to Jerusalem, that he passed through the midst of Samaria and Galilee. And there's a message, all that's a message. And as he entered into a certain village, there met him 10 men. Notice there were lepers, which stood afar off. And they lifted up their voices and said, Jesus, Master. They knew who he was. Have mercy on us. And when he saw them, he said unto them, Go show yourselves unto the priests. And it came to pass, as they went, they were cleansed. But one of them, when he saw that he was healed, turned back and with a loud voice glorified God, and fell down on his face at his feet, giving him thanks. And he was a Samaritan. And Jesus answering said, Were there not 10 cleansed? But where are the 9? That's what I'll preach about this morning on. But where are the 9? Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, we thank you, God, for saving my soul and cleansing me. I was a leper like this man, a Samaritan like this man, God, and you saved me. And I thank you, God. I don't want to be one of those 9. I want to be like that man. I want to glorify thee with a loud voice. And Lord, lift you up in everything I do. And God, I pray it stirs up this message, God. This is a sad message in a lot of ways, God. And I pray it stirs up, God, that we can make a difference in this world. We don't want to be one of the 9. God forbid. Help us to be like that one man, God. And Jesus said, But where are the 9? Pray your blessing upon the message now this morning. I want you to notice a few things about it. There's the man. There are 10 men there. They were all lepers. There's a malady. They had leprosy. Leprosy is a terrible death-defying disease there. And your fingers fall off. Your skin rots. And there's the meeting. It said there they were met him there. They met the Lord. Then there's the master. They called him Master Jesus. They knew who he was. I mean, everything else, these guys there, they're right on cue so far. And then there's the message. Jesus Christ said, Go. And then there's the mercy. They cry out, Master, have mercy on us. And then Jesus gave them the message. He said, Hey, go to the priest and wash there. And then they did exactly. Everybody's in check. And then there's a miracle. They were cleansed. At that point, everything's check. Everything's good to go right there. Then all of a sudden, it's where they get off the boat. And I'm going to say it too many times. In fact, most of God's people are a part of the 9. They get cleansed, they get saved and all that. And then that's the last time you ever hear them, pretty much. And Jesus said, Hey, weren't there 10 of you cleansed? But where are the 9? There's the majority. There's the majority. 9 of them never come back. 9 of them just kept going, got their salvation, got cleansed. They kept going, never turned back, never gave God the glory, never did anything for God. They just kept going, and that's the majority. 9 out of 10 of them did that. And that's what's going on today. And I'm going to give you a thing, and it's a sad question that Jesus asked us, but where are the 9? I'm going to give you a few things. Look at our text in Luke chapter 17. Look what it said, verse 15. And Luke chapter 17, verse 15 says this. And it said, And one of them, look at it, when he saw that he was healed. I want you to notice the first thing about that man, there was the vision that he had. He saw that he was healed, Miss Rachel. He saw that God had done something. He saw the glory of God. He saw that Jesus Christ had done something. And I want to know that Miss Martha, what in the world were the 9 looking at? Did they not see what God had done in their lives? Leprosy, your fingers fall off. Your nose falls off. Your ears fall off. Your hair falls out. You lose your throat. Your throat falls out. You turn white. You can see pictures of those lepers down there to Brother Tillman over there in his ministry. All those lepers of that body parts and their body falls out. And surely, to goodness, those nine that was healed should have looked Miss Rachel and Miss Pat. They should have saw what God had done. You know what's wrong with too many of God's people? They're like the nine. They're not looking at what God has done. The nine didn't even see what they were healed. And one of them, when he saw that he was healed, he turned back and with a loud voice glorified God. I look around the world and God's people and I wonder, what in the world are they looking at? I know what they're looking at. They're looking at the politics. They're all running around at the Trump rallies and the Biden rallies, and they're watching TV and they're on Facebook. They're watching the Fox News and CNN, and their eyes and their hearts are on all that stuff. And they're just like the nine, my friend. Where are the nine? I can tell you where they're at today, brethren. They've lost the vision of what God done for them. They're so tied up in the world. The Bible said in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 3, 4. 2 Corinthians 4, 4, talking about the devil. It said, in whom the god of this world has blinded the minds of those that believe not. And I'm going to say, too many of God's people have been blinded by the world. 2 Corinthians 4, 18 says, while we look not at the things which are seen, but the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen, they're eternal. You say, where are the nine at, preacher? I tell you where they're at. Their eyes are on everything but God. Their eyes and their hearts are on the world and everything about it. They got healed. But you know what they did? They just kept on going with the flow. Those nine. They never stopped. They never looked. They never saw what God had done. They just kept on going. I want to say there's the vision. Take your Bible. Turn over to Mark chapter 8. Mark chapter 8. Mark chapter 8. You say, where are the nine, preacher? Oh, they're in the Trump rallies. That's where they're at. They're in the Biden rally. That's the shopping malls. They're on Facebook today. They're on their telephones. On their phone this morning. They're everywhere but seeing the glory of God. No vision for God. It said about that man, the first thing he did when he saw that he was healed. God's people need to open their eyes. Over in Mark chapter 8. Mark chapter 8. Pick it up, verse number 14. Over in Mark chapter 8, Jesus Christ previously had fed 5,000 with a few loaves and fishes. Over here in Mark chapter 8, verse 14, he's going to feed 4,000 people with 7 loaves and a few fishes, a few small fishes. Verse 14, then with the disciples, they forgot to take bread, neither they stayed in the things, and then more. Then one left, and he charged them, saying, take heed, beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and the leaven of the Herod. And they reasoned among themselves, watch it, saying, it is because we have no bread. And when Jesus knew it, he said unto them, why reason you because you have no bread? Perceive you not yet, neither understand? Have your heart yet hardened? He said, hey, what are you complaining about? I just fed 5,000. I just fed 4,000. You're worried about the bread? Look what he says, verse number 18. Having eyes, see you not. I want to say to God's people, having eyes, can't you see what's going on in the world? Having eyes, see you not. Having ears, hear you not. And do you not remember when I break the 5 loaves among 5,000? How many baskets are full? He goes on. Verse 21, he said to them, how is it that you not understand? I'll tell you why they don't understand, because they won't open their eyes. They got their eyes on everything else. There's a vision. Just like those nine. You say, where are the nine, preacher? I'll tell you where they're at. They're looking at everything but God. Over there in Revelation 3, verse 14, we read about the Laodicean church age. That's a modern day church. That's the church today. Those big churches. It says this. And he talking about those. I know thy works, thou art neither hot nor cold. I word thee were hot, cold or hot. So then, because thou art lukewarm and rather not cold, not hot, I spew thee out of my mouth. Because thou sayest, I am rich and increased with goods and have need of nothing. And knowest not that thou art wretched and miserable and poor and blind, he said. They said, hey, we got all this stuff. And their eyes were on the wrong thing. And Jesus said, yeah, you got all this. He said, hey, I'm rich. I got it made. He said, don't you know you're wretched, miserable, and you're blind? You know what's wrong with the nine? Like a lot of God's people, they lost the vision. Jesus Christ goes on to tell them, he said, I counsel thee to buy me gold tried in the fire, that thou mayest be rich, and white raiment, that thou may be clothed, and the shame of thy nakedness not appear, and anoint thy eyes with eyesight, that thou might see. See who he's talking to. He's talking to the Laodicean church. You say, where are the nine, preacher? But where are the nine? I'll tell you where they are. They lost their vision for God. They're no longer looking for God. Their heart and everything else is on the world and the things of the world. I'll tell you something else about it. Look at our text, Luke chapter 17, verse 15. Here's this man. Nine of them didn't come back, but one of them did. And Luke 17, verse 15 says this. And one of them, when he saw, first thing, the vision, he saw that he was healed. It said he turned back. There's the veer. V-E-R. V-E-R, it means a turn or to change direction or direct or a different course. And now, all of them, Miss Martha, that nine, Brother Robert, they were all just going along with the world. They got cleansed and they just kept on going. That fellow saw what God had done. And the Bible said he turned back and began with a loud voice to glorify God. There's the veer. He turned back. You know what the nine does? They just go with the flow. They go with the world. They just keep walking along. They never veer back. It takes some conviction and courage to veer the path of the world. It takes some conviction and courage to veer from the path of the politics and the world and the news media and the Foxes and the CNN and all the things that take our minds and our hearts and say, hey, I'm going to walk with Jesus Christ. And most of the time, you notice what it said in one of them, he is all alone. That song we just sang, that second verse, I have decided to follow Jesus, and it said, though none go with me. I'm going to tell you, most of the time, if you're going to serve God, if you're going to do something for God, you're going to do it alone. If you wait for the nine, bless God, nothing will get done. Nothing. I go out on afternoon, Fridays, and hold up signs. I don't wait for nobody. You say, why? If I did, I'd never do it. Nobody shows up. I go out there Friday afternoon, hold up signs, and preach. I've been doing that for years and years. Me and my family had a tract ministry. We done it ourselves. You say, and I'm just telling you this morning, bless God, somewhere you're going to have to say, I'm going to serve God. I'm going to veer, though none go with me. Because you're going to do it alone most of the time. If you wait for the nine, you'll never do nothing for God because they're not going to show up. I was out there a couple of weeks ago with Dustin. He's been coming around from Gaston with me. He couldn't come yesterday. He had a birthday party, or Friday couldn't come. And I gave him some signs a few weeks ago. He lives in Nashville. He wants to go out to Walmart in spring and hold up signs. And he said, I gave him a few signs. And he said, Brother Terry, he said, do you think I can do this by myself? Think I can be safe? And I told him, I said, Dustin, I said, most of the time that I've been out here standing on the street corner preaching and doing things for God, I said, it's been by myself. And I told him, I said, Dustin, if you wait for somebody, you'll never do anything for God. It's going to be, if you're going to do it, one man turned back. There's a veer. There's a vision. I believe most Christians get saved and they're just like the nine. They just keep going with the world. They never veer. They just keep walking with the world. If you followed them today, Miss Rachel, you couldn't even tell they're saved. If you walk through Miss Jenna, they go in the malls, they go in the stores, they go in the doctor's office, they never give a tract, never read a Bible, never do nothing. If you went through them, you couldn't tell them from the lost man that broke in this church if you walk behind them. Just part of the nine, just keep going. Nothing changed in their life. My Bible said, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things have become new. And brother, it says over there that we're buried with him in baptism. Therefore, we should be risen and walk in newness of life. And brother, if you're not veering for Jesus Christ, something wrong. Something's wrong. There's a veer. I like Joshua over there. I don't have time to turn there, but Joshua chapter 24, you know it. Joshua chapter 24. Joshua gets Israel there, and Joshua's about to die. He's 120 years old. Old Joshua's 120 years old and about to die. And he gets them together, says this. Joshua 24:14. This is a great message. He says, "Now therefore fear the Lord, and serve Him in sincerity and in truth, and put away the gods which your fathers served on the other side of the flood and in Egypt, and serve you the Lord." And he said this, "If it seems evil for you to serve the Lord, choose you this day whom you will serve, whether the gods which your fathers served on the other side of the flood or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you dwell." But he said, "But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord." Has that ever happened to you? Has there ever come a time and place in your life where you said, "Hey, I'm going to serve Jesus Christ no matter who, what, when, or where happens?" Like Joshua, choose you this day who you're going to serve. You want to serve the politics and Republicans and Democrats? You want to do that? I just saw this week over in someplace, Republicans just, and don't believe a word I'm telling you, say that preacher's lying. I want you to look it up on the internet when you get a chance. The Republicans just nominated for a Republican now. This is not Democrats. Listen to me. They just nominated a transsexual, Miss Martha, Satanist, as a deputy sheriff in one county. Republicans. It's a man that thinks he's a woman, and he's an avowed Satanist, and is the priest of one of the satanic churches, and ran as a Republican, and Republicans voted that thing in. Do you want to serve those guys? Not me, bro. Not me. Far as me and my house, bless God, we're going to serve God. I got a mat on my house when you go in. It says, "Far as me and my house, we will serve the Lord." There's a door knocker. When you knock on it, it says, "For me and my house, we will serve the Lord." When you open up the door, there's a little wall there, and the first thing you see is a scripture there about 2 feet by 2 feet. "As far as me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord." And bless God, that's what we're going to do. I'm not going to serve this old world. I've had enough of it. I want to say there's a vision. That fellow had a vision. He saw what God had done. He saw it. I'll tell you something else he did. He veered. He turned back. He changed direction. He changed course. He saw what he'd done, and he was walking along with those guys. He said, "Man, I'm going back. I'm going back." And he veered. Next thing I want you to notice in our text, look at Luke chapter 17, verse 15. There was a vision. He saw that he was healed. There's a veer. He turned back. And look what it said the next thing. And it said he, with a loud voice, glorified God. There was the vision. There was the veer where he turned. And then there's the voice. It said that he had a voice. He didn't just say a voice. He had a loud voice. He wanted everybody, Miss Pat. He wanted everybody, Brother Robert, to know that he had been saved by Jesus Christ. Brother, he was out there. Jesus saves! Jesus saves! Brother, that fella had a voice from God. Too many of God's people, supposedly, have lost their voice to glorify God. But where are the nine? I'll tell you where they're at. They're talking about football today. Talking about politics today. They're talking about the brethren today. They're talking about one another. They're on the phone yapping. They're doing everything, but talking and lifting up God. You say, "Where are the nine?" They lost their voice for God. The nine had a loud voice. Talk about everything else. You say, "Where are the nine? Where are the nine this morning?" I'll tell you where they're at. They're ashamed of God. They're not ashamed of the world. Paul said over in Romans chapter, 1 Corinthians, or Romans chapter 1:16, he said, "For I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ." He said, "I'm not ashamed of it." He said, "It's the power of God to the Jew and everyone that believes, the Jew or the Gentile." Romans chapter 10:11 says, "For the scripture saith, whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed." I'm going to tell you, there's some same things. Miss Martha, brother, being in this world, I'm ashamed of. There's things that I'm ashamed that I did. But I'm not ashamed of Jesus Christ. God forbid, Lord, cut my arm off when I do that, God. Take me out of this place before I do this, Lord. I don't want to be ashamed of Him. God forbid. and he cried with a loud voice and glorified God. I got a good friend of mine, Danny Everett, I went to school with. That old boy was an orphan. He never knew his mother, father. Somebody just laid him down at a place. The baby never... And that old boy, he had nothing but God got saved. A good witness for the Lord down in Pensacola in Bible school. And we used to go out and street preaches on Saturday. And there'd be about 200, 300 preachers out there, young preachers, and they'd turn us loose. We'd hit every corner, major corner in Pensacola, and we'd hit all the beaches. And he was out there at Mount Olive Baptist Church, a big Southern Baptist church that hated us and hated the preaching. And we'd stand on the street corner there at North Davis and Mount Olive Road, is a big intersection there. And we'd stand out there on the street corners there and preach, and there'd be one guy on each corner. And old Brother Danny, he's out there preaching one day, one Saturday. And the Bible says, "For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." And this fellow come out of that church, Southern Baptist Church. They don't like that stuff. And he told him, he said, "Son," he said, "y'all not be doing this." He said, "If I was you," what he said. He said, "If I was you, I'd be ashamed of myself for him preaching. God forbid." You know what Brother Danny told him? I love it. Brother Danny said, "You know why?" He said, "I am ashamed of myself." But he said, "I'm not ashamed of Jesus Christ. I'm ashamed of me. Boy, you're not going to hear me preach about me." Brother Charlie Andrews, he's out there preaching the same corner a little bit later. Brother Charlie, he's the president of the Devil's Disciple motorcycle gang before he got shot, before he got saved. That boy had been shot 5 times. Miss Martha, he'd been stabbed 5 times. That was a bad dude. Pastor Gloria had been pastoring out there about 40 years. And I was out there with him, Mount Olive, the same corner. And Brother Charlie's out there, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son." And this lady pulls up in her car. Whoops! And she jumps out. She said, that's what she told him. She said, "I'm a member of this church here." And she said, "I don't like what you're doing." And she said, "I'm going to call the police and have you arrested." Oh, you know what Brother Charlie said? I'll never forget this. I'll never forget. He looked at her and he said, "Lady, boy, I got saved. I spent half my life in jail." He said, "If you're going to threaten me by throwing me to jail, it's like threatening a dog by throwing him in the meat wagon." He just kept on going. Loud voice! You say, "What's wrong with God's people?" I tell you, the 99, they'll come out there and attack you for preaching the gospel. And it's amazing how the world, Brother Ben, I mean, the Black Lives Matter, they're out there protesting. The white supremacists are out there. The Democrats are out there. The Republicans are out there. The 1%ers are out there. Every flavor in the world. Listen, they've been protesting in Portland, Miss Pat, for over 100 days every night. They're all protesting. They're all crying with a loud voice. Except one group. There's one group that's nowhere to be found. Black Lives Matter is there. Trumpeteers are there. 1%ers are there. Socialists are there. The white supremacists are there. I wonder who's missing. The 9. God's people. I mean, we're supposed to have the hope and the answer, don't we? We're supposed to know the way to heaven. And yet it's God's people that never, never, never speak up. I'm 65 years old. Be 66 in March. You know how many times somebody's just a stranger came up and gave me a gospel tract in these years, Miss Martha? Zero. Zero. You know how many times in all these years a stranger came up to me somewhere and tried to tell me about Jesus Christ and witness to me? Zero. See, what is it? Where's the 9? Brother, that one fellow turned back with a loud voice. He began to glorify God. It's amazing how everybody else but God's people can get out and protest. I'm for them. Listen, I'm for them. I believe in freedom. Listen, the Constitution says this. The First Amendment to it, the GI Bill of Rights said this. And it's the thing that separates us. You can't do what they do in Iran. You can't do it in Iraq. You can't do it in Saudi Arabia. You can't do it in China. You can't do it in Britain. You can't do it hardly anywhere in the world. But this one, and it's because of God's people. And an amendment. First Amendment. Congress shall not make no law respecting her establishment of religion, or prohibiting the free exercise thereof, or abridging the freedom of speech, or of the prayers, or the right of the people peaceably to assemble and to petition the government. Listen, brother, that's part of the rights that you and I can stand on the street corner and you and I can give out gospel tracts. And it's God's people that got that in there. It wasn't the Black Lives Matter. It was God's people, brother. You say, where are the nine, preacher? I'll tell you where they're at. They're sitting by the boob tube. Brother, those people out there protesting, they've been out over 100 days in Portland. I'll tell you what, I know they're not saved. God's people wouldn't do it. God's people lay around. I want to say, there's a vision. He saw what happened to him. I'll tell you something else, he veered. He turned back. He didn't just keep going. He didn't just keep going to the world. I'll tell you something else about that old boy. Cry with a loud voice. He had a voice for God. He had a voice for God. I'll tell you something else about that old fella. Look what it said in Luke chapter 17, verse 12. Luke 17, 12. And as he entered into a certain village, there met him 10 men that were lepers, which stood afar off. There was a vision that he had. He saw. There was the veer. He went back. There was a voice, but there was a vexation. That guy was vexed. That word vex means to plague, to torment, to afflict, to curse. It means defile. Psalm chapter 6:2 says, have mercy upon me, O Lord. I am weak. O God, heal me, for my bones are vexed. My soul is sore vexed. That fellow was vexed this morning, Miss Martha. He had leprosy, Miss Rachel. His body was decaying in leprosy. Man, the body starts rotting and they start smelling like rotten flesh. And their flesh turns white. Their hair falls off. Their fingers fall off. That fellow was vexed and he was cursed. And he knew it. Take your Bible, turn to Leviticus chapter 13. Show you something in your Bible. Leviticus chapter 13. Leviticus, everybody turn there. Leviticus 13. I love the Bible. I'm a King James Bible believer. I'm not a Republican. I'm not a Democrat. I believe that book, what it says, and God said it, and that settles it, and nobody else. Here's what God said about that leprosy. Here's what He said about the coronavirus, too, by the way. This is right here in your Bible. And this is what I believe, see? This is what He told that leper. You know what that leper was? He was vexed. He was cursed. Here's what God told him to do. This is what we're trying to do in this country. If you got any sense and believe the Bible, turn off all that junk on TV, all these nuts. This is what you ought to do right here. Look at Leviticus chapter 13, verse 43. Here's what God told him. Then the priest shall look upon it, the leprosy. And behold, if the leprosy of the sore be white, reddish in his bald head or his bald forehead, or as a leprosy appeareth to the skin of the flesh, he is a leprous man. He is unclean. And the priest shall pronounce him utterly unclean. His plague is in his head. Watch verse 45. And the leper in whom the plague is, his clothes shall be rent. They tear his clothes so they can see it. Watch it. His head bare, and he shall put a covering upon his upper lip. That's why you're wearing a mask this morning. That's what he told him. He said, put that mask on to keep from breathing on people. That's why they've done it for thousands of years. Don't listen to those kooky, crazy nuts running around. That's what God said to do, and do it. It might save your life. What he told him, cover that face over the upper lip. When you breathe, you won't kill people. Look what he said. And cry unclean, unclean. That's what I believe. I'm a King James Bible believer, and I believe what God said it. And God knows more than Limbaugh. He knows more than Hannity and Carson. All those people saying it don't work. God said it works. And He knows more than they do. Look at verse 46. All the days wherein the plague shall be in him, he shall be defiled. He was vexed. Look what it says. He shall dwell alone. Without the camp shall be his habitation. That's what we're trying to do there. People don't know it. They're trying to follow the King James Bible. They're saying social distance. They're saying if you got it, quarantine. They're saying wear a mask and cover up so you don't breathe and kill people. And that's what I believe. I believe the Bible. And that fellow was vexed. He was cursed. He was defiled. He was quarantined. Not only that, I'll tell you something else about that fellow. Look at Luke chapter 17, verse 15. And one of them, when he saw that he was healed, turned back with a loud voice, glorified God. And he fell on his face, giving him thanks. Bible said this. And he was a Samaritan. You say, what's significant about that? Samaritans were cursed by the Jews. The Jews wouldn't have anything to do with them, brother. It said over in John chapter 4 when Jesus went to that Samaritan lady, she said over there in John 4 and 9, he came to a woman of Samaria, and she said, how is it that thou, being a Jew, talkest to be a woman of Samaria? For the Jews have no dealings with the Samaritans. And he goes on to say that the disciples marveled in verse 27 that he talked with that woman. Because according to the Jewish people, the Samaritans were like half dogs. They were half breeds. Jesus Christ, in fact, in Matthew chapter 10, when he sent the disciples out, he said the 12 is wind. Jesus said, commanded, go not in the way of the Gentiles and nor any of the city of Samaritans. I mean, this fellow, he was a leper, Miss Rachel. He was a leper. He was vexed. He was cursed. He was defiled and everything. And you look at Luke chapter 17, verse number 12. It said there were 10 men that were lepers, and it said they stood afar away. They couldn't get close to Jesus Christ because of that leprosy. That's what it said. And not only he had that leprosy and he was vexed and cursed of that leprosy. I'll tell you something else about that old boy. He was Samaritan. He was Samaritan! He had a double trouble, man. He was double cursed. By the way, leprosy in your Bible is a picture of sin. Just like sin, that leprosy eats you alive. And just like sin, you had to be clean. The blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, cleanses us from all sin. Unto Him that loved us and washed us from our own sins. And I'm going to tell you what happened to those nine. They forgot what God had done for them. They forgot the vexation and the sin, the curse and defilement. Too many of God's people are like those nine. They get saved and just forget where they were when God found them. Brother, I like old Brother Earl used to say, he used to say, God been good to this old piece of dirt. And brother, that's speaking kindly a piece of dirt. Brother, God's been good to me. I was like that leprosy, just like I told you, man, I could have been one of those like that breaking in this church. Without, just like that. Back in those days, I had no respect for God. I had no respect for the churches. I had no respect for nobody. You see why that? God saved my vexed and cursed souls, what He did. Changed my life, brother. And nine, they forgot. They forgot that vexation, forgot that defilement, got that, boy, they got cleansed, just kept on going. You know what Jesus said? But where are the nine? Where are the nine? No vision, no fear, just kept going. No voice for God, no vexation. They just thought they were good old boys. I reminded old Billy Sunday. Billy Sunday was a famous baseball player, you know, became evangelist. He still, right now, I think, has a record for the fastest time going around the bases, if I'm not mistaken. But he's a well-known evangelist in his day, a baseball player, one of the most famous baseball players in the world at the time, Billy Sunday was. And he is an old drunkard. One night, he was sitting out the streets of Chicago, him and two of his buddies. And he's sitting on that street. They've been in the bars all drunken out and everything. Sitting on that corner drunk. Out come some people from Pacific Garden Rescue Mission. And some little girl, teenage girls come out there singing, I'm praying for you I'm praying. And they're singing and it touched his old heart. And old Billy Sunday got up, told those fellas, he said, boys, I don't know about you, but I'm going in that mission. I'm going to get right with God. And he did. Came one of the greatest evangelists the world's ever seen, old Billy Sunday did. God saved that old boy. Did a work like very few men's ever seen in this world, preaching the gospel. One time a policeman came, was up in Chicago. And he was going to the streets of Chicago. And he went down the streets of Chicago. And there's a man laying in the gutter there in Chicago. And he was crying to God and weeping. Laying in the gutter. And the policeman went over and picked him up and said, sir, let me help you. Let me help you up. Let me see what I can do for you. And he said, officer, you don't understand. He said, my name's Billy Sunday. And he said, I'm the famous evangelist. And he said, I come here every once in a while and I lay down in this gutter. Because he said, I don't ever forget where God found me. You know what them old nine did? They forgot where God found them. There's a vexation. There's a voice. There's a vision. Let me just give you a few more. Real quick, I'm about done. Luke chapter 17. Look at Luke chapter 17. Bible says this, and one of them, when he saw it was healed, turned back with a loud voice, glorified God, fell down on his face at his feet, giving him thanks. He was Samaritan. And Jesus answered and said, where are the 10 clean, but where are the 9? He said, they are not found. They returned to give glory to God, save this stranger. Watch it. And he said unto him, arise, go thy way. Thy faith had made thee whole. You know what that guy got? He got the victory. He got the real deal. Jesus said, arise, thy faith hath made thee whole. I don't know what those other guys got, but Jesus said, you got the whole deal. And he got the victory. And brother, those 9 did not get what that one man got. I don't know what they got, but I know God. Jesus told him, said, thy faith hath made thee whole. You know what they got? He got the victory. You know what the 9 got? They're like most Christians today. They don't have any victory. Billy Sunday said years ago, he said, most Christians got just enough salvation to make them miserable. They got cleansed, got enough salvation, still in the world, never there, never spoke out for God, never served God, and yet they're just miserable, no victory. That old boy, he had the victory. You see where the 9 preacher, no victory. No real victory. No vision. No, didn't see what God had done. Their eyes all in the world. No hearing. They just kept going to the world. No voice for God. Never speak out. Talk about everything but God. No vexation. They don't remember what God had done for them. No victory. No victory. Do you want to be one of those 9? Brother, I don't. I don't. Most of God's people right there in the 9. I don't want to be there. No victory. I'll tell you one other thing. Look at Luke chapter 17. This is the whole message really right here. All that was almost the beginning. This is the real message. This whole thing here. And this is what I started just preaching on this. But here's the vacancy. This is pretty sad. This is one of the saddest things in the Bible to me. Because look at verse number 17. And Jesus answering said, listen to this. Look at the wording, how God said this. This is pitiful. This is pitiful. Were there not 10 cleansed? And Jesus is asking. He's asking. But where are the 9? Look what he says. Look at this. Look at the next thing. They are not, look what it says, found. They are not found that return to give glory to God. You know what the word found means? It means, Miss Rachel, that somebody, something is searching for them. That's what it means. It means over there in Luke chapter 15, it talks about that lady. It says she had 10 pieces of silver. And if she lose one, doth not light a candle and sweep the house, seeking diligently till she find it. You know what Jesus is doing? He is looking for the 9. Where are the 9? Where is God's people? 71% of the people in this country claim to be born again Christians, and you never hear from them. See, where are they? They were the 9. I don't want to be the 9. There's the vacancy. They're vacant. That word vacancy, I looked it up. It means empty. They're empty. They're empty inside. Their life is a joke when walking with God. They're missing. They're void. They're not occupied. They're not found. They're vacant. Their place is not occupied. It says they're destitute of persons to fill it. They're not found. And Jesus is looking for them. He said, where are the 9? But they are not found. He's looking for them. He's looking for them today in Pearl Lake Baptist Church. He's trying to find that 9. Saying, hey, where you at? Where are you at? How many people did you talk to God this week? How many tracts did you pass out? How many times did you talk to somebody about God? How many times did you cry with a loud voice? How many times did you dared walk with Jesus Christ? Or did you spend all your time in the world? Are you one of the 9? Bless God, I don't want to be a 9. I want to be that one. If it's just me, God, you know the Lord's looking and He's searching. For who? For that 9. Where are they? Where are my children? Why don't they worship me? Why don't they glorify me? Donald Trump didn't die for me, folks. Joe Biden didn't die on that cross for me. Barack Obama didn't die on that cross. Jesus Christ did. And He's the only one I'm going to get worship and get out here and do these things for. So where are the nine? Where are they at? God's looking for them. You know, in 2 Corinthians chapter 16, verse 9, it says, "For the eyes of the Lord run to and fro throughout the whole earth to show Himself strong in behalf of them whose heart is perfect toward Him." That verse said God's looking all over this earth, searching, looking for those nine. It said over there in Ezekiel chapter 22, verse 30, "I saw for a man among them to stand in the gap, stand in the hedge and stand in the gap." And he said, "I found none." He was looking for them. So where are the nine? Where are they? Jesus, where are they at? Over in Revelation chapter 3, verse 20, He said this to the church, the Laodicean church, standing at the door. He said, "Behold, I stand at the door and knock." He said, "I'm standing at the door. I'm knocking on the door. I'm trying to get in. If any man, just one man, if any man, any man, one of them, just one, that one over there, if any man will hear my voice and open the door, I will come in with him and sup with him and he with me." You say, what is that? He's looking for the nine. I don't want to be one of those nine. I don't want to be one of those. Dwight L. Moody, the famous evangelist, probably the greatest evangelist that ever lived as far as getting people saved. Billy Graham preached to more people. Billy Graham, they say, preached to 2.2 billion, but they say probably more people got saved, actually saved under Dwight L. Moody's ministry than any other evangelist. And Dwight L. Moody was amazing. I told you the story. He's never called to preach. Never felt a calling of God. He said he saw a need and volunteered. Never finished high school. He was a dumb kid that stuttered so bad he couldn't hardly say his name. Knew nothing about God. Never ordained. Never had an ordination service from man. And God used old Dwight L. Moody like very few men He's ever walked this earth. The revivals He brought. He brought the greatest revivals Great Britain ever saw was under the preaching of Dwight L. Moody. I got pictures of them at the house. Greatest revivals in America came through that old preacher. Dwight L. Moody had no abilities. He had nothing to qualify him for a preacher. He had nothing to qualify him as a great soldier or servant for God except him. Dwight L. Moody said this as a young Christian when he got saved. He was at a rescue mission there in the service in a rescue mission. And that preacher preached up there at the rescue mission, and he preached and he said this. That preacher said, "The Lord is seeking and He's searching for that man or that woman that'll sell out to God. The Lord is searching and He's seeking for that man or that woman that'll sell out to God." And Dwight L. Moody said he got up out of his seat and he went down to the altar. Got on his face before God. He said, "God, I want to be that man. I want to be that man." You know what Dwight L. Moody said later? That changed his life. That's where it started, at that altar. Altars where things are altered, see. Up to this point, this message has no meaning. Right now, it's fixing to have meaning when we give an altar call. You part of the nine? You part of the nine? You part of the nine? But where are the nine? Everyone head bowed. I asked my wife to come sing that song by herself. Give us an invitation here this morning. If God spoke to you, and I hope He did. I hope He did. Hope He's still speaking to this church. Hope this church is not turning their ears off and eyes and hearts. I hope God is still speaking at Pearl Lake Baptist Church, because some of you need this message. I know you do. God knows you do. I need it. Need a move. Need a move. Lord, I pray Your blessing upon this message, God. Pray You'll do what You can do with it, God. Pray You move in it this morning, Lord. Pray thy will be done, Lord, and do what only you can do this morning, God. And pray your blessing upon it, God. Stir some hearts, stir some folks, stir some people. They'll get some things going and do some things for you this morning, God. A little old church, not much. People break in and abuse it and do things, God. And just pray your blessing upon it now. Pray you do something with it this morning, Jesus. What about you? Brother, it's time to come clean with God. Time to lay it down and say, okay, God, not where I need to be. Time.